Welcome to Thoughtfully Us, the space where three therapists of color sit down to talk about mental health, real life, and the human side of healing. We're colleagues, friends, and licensed therapists. And so in this podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on not just therapy, but on being people of color in this field and on the parts of life we don't always get to process in the therapy room. So whether you're in therapy, thinking about it, or just trying to make sense of your own healing journey, we're so glad you're here. A quick disclaimer is that this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy, medical advice, or diagnosis. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship with any of the hosts. Tease up for Thoughtfully Us. How to hold space for you and others. I will say I've seen this on social media. Like, what does it mean to hold space? Because I think it's like a clinical therapy type term. Mm-hmm. So I actually think it's nice if we all talk about it as well. And not just from like a therapist lens or therapist client lens, but like friends or family members, loved ones. Like, yeah, I think it'd be a mix of things.
Yeah. What is it? I guess also, like, what does it mean to you guys to hold space? Like, what does that look like, maybe? Or what does it not look like?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I feel like it's almost easier to think about what it doesn't look like. But if I had to answer what it looked like, I feel like it's like really seeing someone. Like, if you were to almost put like emotions or someone's like words or like verbal and nonverbal language, if you were to put it, make it like a physical thing that you could see, it would be like you helping. You're not like holding the whole thing because it's theirs to hold still, but you'd be like maybe letting them lean on you or like holding part of it or helping them hold it. I like validating, like really listening to a person, listening to understand, like not to respond.
Almost correlates like boundaries, like holding boundaries. Protecting your peace is a slogan, I guess, statement I use a lot with my own clients. Mm-hmm. Protecting your peace and kind of understanding, like, I don't know, what you have the capacity for. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if it's like a long day at work, like maybe just everything went wrong, like traffic was horrible, they got your Dunkin' iced coffee wrong, that happens a lot. And then just work was demanding and overwhelming, and then, you know, just everything, and then someone calls and they're like, how are you? Good, how are you? And then they just start dumping and venting, and it's like, wait, whoa, I did not need this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you hold boundaries and like speak up for yourself in that regard, but also maybe listen to people if they like really need someone to talk to in that moment and ask if you have the time and availability.
Say like that newer practice of like ask your friends, ask your family, do you have the capacity for me to vent right now, or do you have a minute? Sometimes is better, almost like I prefer sometimes if people are like, oh, do you have a second I can call you, versus just calling. Obviously, if it's like an emergency, you're necessary in that moment, it makes sense. But I think that's holding space, because part of it, which also could be the conversation, is that holding space for others, especially as therapists, means we do need a lot of time and energy to do that, like capacity to do that. And so at times it can feel like, or not always, but can feel like then like personal life needs a little bit less in order to be able to show up for clients more.
It's almost like asking for consent. Like I feel like you wouldn't throw, and this kind of sounds like a negative connotation, like not saying that sharing everything is always like a heavy weight, but some of it is, and it's like throwing, you wouldn't like throw a weight at somebody. Like you'd be like, hey, can you hold this? Or like, can you help me hold this or help me carry this? But it's like checking in with someone first that they are able to engage in the conversation, have capacity. And I think that's one thing that's hard as therapists is like, you are signing up for that. Every time that you show up in the therapy room as a therapist, like you are, that's what you're signing up for, to hold space for other people. Mm-hmm. Even on the days when you feel like you may not even have space yourself, or like you're able to hold any more space, you still show up for your clients, which I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
I'm like, oh, we're getting somewhere now.
I was thinking too, like, it's so hard. Like, I don't know why I'm like struggling to just say what I want to say, but I just feel like I was thinking, like, we left grad school, we worked, whatever, boom, COVID, pandemic, you know, different political atmospheres, all these things. Like, we're carrying a lot of shit right now. And I think that has been really challenging also for one, us, right? And then also as therapists, and then our clients too. And like, you know, no matter like age or ethnicity, race, background, like I think there's always something that someone's of course coming to us for, and how other things, whether it's in more of like the interpersonal or social political atmosphere, like I think that has also been something that can be really challenging at times too, as well. And so I think it can be hard because it's almost like you're taught in school, like don't have
feelings or emotions.
Yeah, don't have feelings, don't have emotions, don't have opinions, don't, you know, have any of that. But it was like, how do we all, because we're also like, especially during the pandemic, it's like we're also navigating the world shutting down.
Yeah, quarantine.
Too, and no one taught us that, and we had no preparation for that at all. And then I think other things, though different, can be similar in the way, like there wasn't a lot of, there's no preparation, there's no manual for a lot of things that are happening too,
right?
Yeah. And the switch to teletherapy, like we were in such an in-between where we teletherapy like wasn't common at all when we went to school, so we didn't learn anything about how to do that. But we also weren't like seasoned therapists who maybe had the confidence to make a big switch like that, so that was very tricky. But when you're saying that, Maya, it makes me think a lot about like collective trauma and holding space for others while being people ourselves. Mm. That people don't want like what we're taught in school, which is sometimes like being a robot and just like showing up and holding space for somebody. But we're also humans in that. Yeah. And people, like the feedback that a lot of my clients and like other people that I've heard talk about is like, or people I've worked with just in general is like, it's nice to feel like the person you're talking to is a human.
Cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like care. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. But also like, I could see this in the therapist client role, client therapist, but also like just talking to like a friend or a family member or your spouse. Like you want, like, I think everyone wants to be like listened to, actively listened to. So if that means like, if someone comes up to talk to you, can you put your phone down or pause the TV or whatever you're watching? Summer, I turn pretty. I don't know. Pause that. pause that and like give them your undivided attention while they're talking to you about something. And then when they finish, go back to what you were doing. Like, can humans who aren't therapists or in therapy do that too? And I think the answer is yes, but I feel like a lot of us maybe don't always take the time to like really listen to people and like look them in the eye and give them your undivided attention, because we're all just scrolling and always on our phones. And I don't know, it's always something that interests me.
Do you guys feel like it's hard to do that though after like a long day of sessions? Because I'm like, I'm just thinking about how I'm like, that's something I can do well as a therapist, but like,
oh yeah,
as a wife, sometimes I could definitely work on that. And I could like contribute that a lot to, or attribute that to like doing that all day and then
yeah,
coming home and being like, it's hard to keep doing that sometimes. And I do want to like mindlessly scroll and just like watch TV and do something where I can listen and not really pay attention and not have to like engage in that way. And so I think that's one tricky thing is when you're doing this all day, but then that leads me to talk about burnout and how.
Yeah, it's like burnout.
If we had manageable caseloads, then maybe we wouldn't feel that way after. But a lot of the agencies we work for in the therapy world don't usually have manageable caseloads.
Exactly.
Especially the bigger agencies that a lot of people like start out with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think that's important too, because people always like, well, I don't know. I'm always curious like how other industries do things like pay wise, schedules, things like that. Like, we don't work, most of us don't really work a 9-to-5 type deal. There's usually no insurance, there's usually no PTO as therapists. I mean, it really depends where you are, but for the majority, it's like that. And so, we have to like make ends meet. We have to see a lot of clients because that's how we get paid, by seeing clients. So when clients cancel or don't show up, we don't get paid for that. So I think just bringing that awareness to the professional world can help. And I mean, we try to advocate. People are like, why don't you advocate? It's like, it's hard. Insurance companies, and this could be a whole other episode, but insurance companies do not reimburse therapists well. They really don't reimburse anyone well.
Yeah.
Yet we all pay out of pocket or pay these premiums and all the things with insurance. We'll probably do an episode about that because that could be
probably
an hour conversation. Hit my ring on the table. Anyway, see, I'm getting heated. Let me bring myself back. So maybe this is a good segue of like, what are some things you guys do to just calm yourself down? Kind of when you feel that burnout creeping in, or you're just exhausted after a long day, holding space, like how do you hold space for yourself? Because I'm like, I could see myself getting heated there. Had to hit my hand on the table for me to be like, let me relax.
Deep breath.
Yes, yes.
If I could retire, I would have been retired already.
I would have been retired in like 2021.
Probably. Retired out the womb, please.
Yes. Because this work and make a living is not.
Yeah.
For me, but it's wonderful and I do enjoy it, but I also some days I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if like how long could I do this for is something I think about a lot too. Luckily though, with social work, which I do say social work is wonderful in the way that there's a lot you can do, but it's also overwhelming in the way that there's a lot you can do. So, you know, I know there's always options, there's always things I could try and avenues I could dip my toes into, but I, you know, I do like therapy and there's a lot of flexibility with therapy and a lot of ways to grow, but I sometimes I'm like ready to retire and a beach full time is really amazing. So,
well, I think
real quick, I was like, what do you mean, do what? But I think you were talking about seeing clients.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Well, just seeing clients all day, every day, which is wonderful again. And I have some good clients I work with. Like, I really do. I've been very fortunate, but it can be a lot. And I think when you're saying holding space and it's like, you know, a lot, because I do feel like I end days very drained, very tired. And, you know, a few people kind of get any energy I have left. And then I'm usually like to be by myself or, you know, do some of the, I guess what you're asking us, like what we kind of do. And it's like, oh, I might turn on like mindless TV and all my reality shows come in handy then. Cause I'm just like something that doesn't require any like full capacity to follow. I honestly might aimlessly scroll, which I hate to admit because I want to do less.
But we all do it. We're being raw and real here, please.
Yes. I will do that.
You thoughtfully, mindlessly scroll.
Exactly. So yeah, it just kind of depends. But I think just trying to include practices. And I think it's so funny. Well, not funny. It's not funny, but it is funny in the way that we tell clients all the time, like self-care, you know, reserve energy and all these things. And then I'm like, when is the last time I did self-care? Luckily, Nellie and I did do self-care last weekend. We made a snap to do self-care, but on like a regular day-to-day, week to week, I feel like I
have to kind of force myself to do it or reframe and be like, okay, even small acts can be self-care and can help.
Yeah. What'd you, Nelly, do? And then I'm going to go back to Nelly because I cut her off earlier.
I was just going to say, well, actually, Maya, you just like, it goes with what I was going to say earlier, which was that, like, I wonder when you're saying I want to retire, I'm like, I wonder how, if you would feel that way if we actually had manageable schedules. Like, I feel like we don't really have a good idea of what it's like to be a therapist full time, because being a therapist full time is like not like other jobs,
right?
Or like if we are back to back with sessions, like you can't use the bathroom, you can't fill up your water bottle, you can't eat sometimes. Like these are our basic needs that we aren't able to meet as we are helping other people meet their basic needs. So when the world feels like it's on fire, it's so hard to hold space for other people who are going through sometimes the same things that we're going through. Like the pandemic was a time that was incredibly difficult with, in terms of supporting other people with the like uncertainty of the pandemic, while also being like, what is going on ourselves or being personally impacted by that. And similarly, I think it's hard when society makes decisions that impact people's mental health, and then that falls on us in terms of therapists to be like holding space and providing that support, but sometimes like we're personally impacted by those things too. So I really wonder, Maya, if you would want to retire now if we had better circumstances. But that's part of like why we wanted to start this podcast, was because we talk to therapists all the time who feel the same way, but it's not discussed all that much because I almost feel like therapists are like embarrassed or feel this need to be like, no, we love being a therapist. And like, we do love being therapists.
Yeah.
And there are some structural issues that make being a therapist really hard sometimes. Doesn't mean that we don't like the work that we do, the clients that we work with, the people we work with. It doesn't mean that. It just means that it's really hard sometimes. Yeah. So one thing I do is I try and drink a lot of water. I feel like it just makes me feel better and I like notice a big change. And so I found this water bottle, a little bit of a segue here. I found this water bottle that was so cool on my hunt for water bottles. It's called a Brewmate. This is what it looks like. I influenced Morgan because I'm an influencer. Just kidding. But it's cool because if you turn it this way, like turn this other side, I wanted to make sure I didn't do it the opposite way. And you flip it, like it locks. So you can turn it, I almost said turn it off. It's not electronic, but you can lock it.
All right, turn the other way, I think is what you meant.
Try one more time. Yeah.
Because my husband will laugh because I put this in the car the other day and it kind of leaked on something of his. But I was like, I swear I locked it. But I had the wrong way. Guys, look. Wow.
Magic.
I've had this for like months.
Magic.
Morgan and I have this for a reason because we both care about drinking water. Our dear friend and sister, Maya, does struggle in the water intake department.
You do.
Moment of silence. Just kidding.
She said I do.
And I've met people over the years that have similar routines and patterns that I do with water intake. But I do acknowledge that it's important and good for your health.
Wow, we're quoting you on that.
I know.
Actually, perfect that you say that because Morgan and I really like the water bottle that we have.
We do.
We decided to get you one.
Wow.
A little bit of an unboxing event here.
Unveiling.
Mind if I unbox your gift?
Sure. Whoa, it's beautiful.
Ooh, pretty color.
And this is Maya's new water bottle. This podcast will hold Maya accountable to drinking water.
Yes.
Because now she's got to bring her water bottle.
She needs to drink 4 gallons a day. Just kidding.
Ooh, wow.
Start with manageable.
We'll start with one at least of those, potentially during the podcast episode.
Great.
Perfect.
I love that.
So I think I will get water and enjoy the rest of the podcast with it next to me.
Oh. We will update the Instagram stories on if Maya is drinking water or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a really real struggle for a lot of people. So please let us know, because then we can share it here and lots of people can know.
Yeah.
Yes. And it could be one of our new self-care practices too.
Love that.
Hydration.
Yes.
It's especially important in this heat. Yes.
Especially in this heat.
Ooh. I think we should end with a segment called This or That.
Okay.
So I'll go first. So I'm in a phase, and I've always been in the phase of matcha. Matcha lattes.
You're a matcha girl.
Matcha tea. Literally, green is my color. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense. So I've been into matcha for years. And now, all of a sudden, it's so popular. Mm-hmm. But it has a lot of good health benefits. And maybe I'll explain that another time. But I would say my this or that would be this. Matcha is this. That. I've been like craving just a nice iced coffee with caramel, cream, and sugar.
Mm. So, like a nice caramel latte?
Yeah.
Is that your Dunkin' order? Or?
You know, yeah, actually, it is my Dunkin' order.
So you're saying,
Lila,
right. So I'm saying this or that for you guys, matcha or. We'll just say coffee.
Coffee.
No, that changes it up. Because if it's matcha iced caramel latte, I'd say iced caramel latte. If it's matcha coffee, I'd say matcha.
All right. Matcha latte or caramel
macchiato.
Are those similar? Latte?
No.
Why can't you just do an iced caramel latte?
Okay. Iced matcha latte. Or iced caramel latte.
Iced caramel latte.
Same.
Dang.
Yeah.
And I love a matcha, and like the whole vibe and like aesthetic of getting a matcha latte at a cafe is something I do sometimes and take pictures of. Mm-hmm. But I need a coffee in the morning. And recently I've been trialing to not have any coffee, but those days, if anyone's talked to me on those days, hasn't really looked amazing. The days I have coffee, I just feel like everything's gonna be okay.
Why is it all getting emotional? Like,
because
Maya is getting teary-eyed talking about her coffee in the mornings.
Because I actually like never even drink coffee until like end of college, honestly.
I didn't start now until
like can't imagine going a day. I mean, I've gone days recently without it.
Yeah.
Like, you get used to it. And I don't like the taste of coffee. Like, I do not drink it black. I do not like coffee ice cream. Sorry, I'm a hater. But I do just love having, like, a coffee in the morning with my creamer or oat milk or whatever. And I prefer that. I would rather have, like, a nice coffee in the morning over, like, an energy drink or a tea.
Okay. All right.
And that's my this or that. Were you asking us each, or were we doing our own? That was it.
It was just
you.
I was asking each of you.
Oh.
Okay. Or I guess both of you.
But you might have some listeners who like matcha. And again, yeah. I like it. I just like coffee.
Yeah, I like matcha too. But ice cream a latte, always for the win.
Yes.
But all right. Now I know what I'm going to get tomorrow.
And there you have it, folks. This week is about matcha, water, and holding space for others, but also holding space for our damn selves.
I'm going to drink water this week. And as a reminder, I'll say, if you guys can please share the podcast, share all of our social medias. We're on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And submit any questions or comments you have to us there. Leave a review if you have the time and energy, even if it's quick and easy. And We hope to see you guys next time.
Yes, and we appreciate all of your love and support so far. We genuinely, like, we really feel it. It's been so sweet to hear everybody's feedback and the texts we've received. It's just been really nice and made us a lot more excited than just nervous, because we've always been excited, but there's a lot of nerves too. Feeling a little bit more excited. So excited that we decided to show our faces.
I know.
Here we are.
All right.
Yes.
Tease up.
Until next time.
Tease up.
With all the yes.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's conversation. We hope you felt seen, supported, and maybe even laughed a little along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new one. And we'd love it if you left us a rating or review. It really helps more people find us. You can also connect with us on Instagram @thoughtfully_us and let us know what you want to hear about next. And remember, while we're therapists, this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you're struggling, please reach out for support from a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.